what God has got sent for me. I can't be wasting my time trying to figure out what Brother Wicked is doing and trying to figure out what he's doing, where he's going, why he's going, why he's acting that way. Because see, when I'm trying to worry about what Brother Wicked is doing, I'm missing what God is trying to do for me. So when you're looking at what somebody else is doing, you get all tied up in what they're doing and you miss the sign trying to do for you. So many people run around because they say, well, this prophet is this. This person told me this. Somebody walked up to me yesterday and told me this. And so sometimes Christians run around with like a chicken with their head cut off because somebody over here told them something. So now they're running that way. They go over here, somebody told them something. Now they're running that way. They go here, somebody tell them something. And now they're running that way. And the whole time, God is saying, this is what I'm telling you. Listen to me. Let God whisper in your ear sometime instead of everybody else whispering in your ear. Let God give you some direction. Be aware. Be aware. You see, the one thing about everything else except for sometime, men and women of God, the one thing about all of everything else that God created, they move by the movement of God. If you ever notice that now the season is giving a change and the birds are doing what? Flying soft. Because they seen the signs that things are changing, and they know that God has directed them to go somewhere else. So what they do is they don't decide to hang around here and say, let me see what's going to happen next month. Let me see what's going to happen next week. Let me see what's going to happen 3 months from now. Soon as they see the signs of God, they start to moving in the direction side. They're going, look, look, look. Grass don't grow in the wintertime because it's not what? It's not their season. Got me? In the wintertime, the grass knows that it's time for it to go dormant because it is season for them to go dormant. But guess what? Soon as spring come around, soon as God gives them some spring rain and the sun comes out, doesn't that grass just seem to start to grow? Look, all year long, that grass out there is what? It's brown? It's I don't know what. Because the grass, God created the grass, and the grass knows God's season. And it moves in God's season. So God is telling us, as men and women of God, look at what I'm doing and move when I tell you to move. He said, look at what I'm doing. So let's go to Isaiah. We're going to be in Isaiah. Come on, go to Isaiah chapter 49. Somebody said Isaiah 49. And we're going to be in one chapter. We're going to do chapter. We're going to do verse 8. Isaiah 49, verse 8. Somebody say Isaiah 49, verse 8. And in Isaiah 49, God tells Isaiah something. And I'm going to tell you right now, God is telling you something. See, God just don't talk to just one person. He talks to everybody. So he's talking to Isaiah in this chapter and in this verse. And in this chapter, in this verse, and it starts off this way. It says that this is what the Lord said. To make sure you're not confused of who's saying it. And Isaiah, he writes, he said, in his book, he writes, it says, this is what the Lord says. Wake up. So this should make your spiritual radar get in tune. Because you automatically know that God is what? Get ready to what? Say something. God is getting ready to say something. So the writer wanted us to know that God is saying this. Not Isaiah, not Moses, not Abraham, not anybody else, not Jacob, not any of the other characters in the Bible. But they want to let you know that God is saying this. So he said, this is what the Lord says to Isaiah. So today I want you to let you know that this is what the Lord is saying to you. Accept this as yours. Accept this as he's saying this to you. So he said, this is what the Lord says. He's saying it to you. He says, there will be a special time. Yes. Not just any old time. Yes. Not just not you picking a time, not just a hands on the clock, but he said there will be a special time. He said, I will show you my kindness. First, I will show you something. First, I will show you my kindness. See, when you recognize that God is being kind to you, and guess, let me tell you right now, let me break this down. This is how you can recognize that God is being kind to you. When he wakes you up in the morning, God don't have to do anything else but to wake you up in the morning, and he does it out of his kindness. Nothing that we have done, no goodness, no greatness, no works, nothing that we have done out of God's kindness, he wakes us up. So when God wakes you up in the morning, the first thing you should say to yourself, God has got something special for me today. Somebody say that. Because you all woke up, right? So God is what? Got something special for me today. God has got something special for me this week. Because guess what? This is what? The beginning of the week? So he said, God has got something special for me this what? This week. Not just this day, but he's got something special for this week's coming. Because he woke you up, he prepared you for this week. So he said, I will show you my kindness. I will wake you up in the morning. I will start you on your way. I will put healing in your body. I will turn you around. I will pick you up, and I will turn you around, and I will start you on your path today. That is what he said when he woke you up this morning. Some of us just took it away. Hey, we got up this morning. God woke us up. No, he gave you a message by waking you up. He said, then I will answer your prayer. When you woke up this morning, the first thing you should have did was ask God for something. Have anybody asked God for anything today? I see one person. Every morning he wake you up, you should be asking him for something. Oh, God, make sure I'm up today. God, make sure no danger comes at me today. God, if I'm looking for a job, God, help me find that job I'm looking for today. So he said, he'll show you kindness, he'll wake you up, and he said, then I will answer your prayer. See, when he make himself known to you, and you recognize, see, when God makes himself known to you, that means he's doing what? Listening. I don't know if you ever realized that before. When God does something, when you feel something down inside of you, when you feel something, something is unusual with it. It's got to be the presence of God. God has got to be in my midst today. I'm feeling something get ready to happen. And then when you feel like something get ready to happen in your life, that's when God is listening. And that is when God is ready to answer your prayer. So that is the moment you should be asking God for whatever it is you want to get from God to do in your life. And you get that, you need to operate in God's signs. Recognize what God's signs are and operate in them. See, when we do that, the things that we want him to do, the things we want him to work out, they will work out the way we want them to work out. Then he goes on and says, there will be a special day when I will save you. This is more than just a salvational saving. It could be when God helps us out with our light bill, guess what? He saved us. When God helps us avoid an accident, when you find out that it was an accident on 64, with the same place that you were going, and you would have been there the same timing, but he kept you out of the midst of that accident, God did what? You. When you find out, you realize you was walking or doing something and something felt just in front of you and almost could have hit you, guess what? God saved you. When you had pain in your body and that pain is gone, guess what? God saved you. He said, there will be a special day when I will save you. He said, then I will help you and protect you. He saves, he helps, and he protects. He saves. Look, he gets us prepped. Then he protects us. Then he helps us. I'm going to say it again. He gets us prepped, which means he gets us in a position for to get ready to do something. Then he what? Helps us do what? Do that. But when we're doing it, he also keeps the enemy away. So he says he protects us. And he said, and this is what I love, because this, you read the Bible, you find this all the time. And you will be the proof of my agreement with the people. See, we got to understand. I don't think Christians understand. Can I just make this clear for a moment? I don't think Christians understand this. Christians, especially who say they are filled with the Holy Ghost and got his presence. We have an obligation to be blessed by God. We have an obligation for God to change our life. We have an obligation for God to do some mighty things in our life. We have an obligation for God to make us rich. We have an obligation for God to work out things in our life. Guess what? Because see, right now here on earth, Jesus Christ was here, but he's no longer here. See, right now we're in the presence of the Holy Ghost, and the presence of the Holy Ghost is inside of us. And see, the only way people can see God is see him through us. Yes. Yeah. He said, and you will be the proof. People will know how great I am through you. People will understand how wonderful I am through you. People would know that I heal the sick through you. Isn't that right, Sister Kim Parker? Right. when people see us sick, look, when you came to church that Sunday, you could barely walk. And in the presence of God's people, she was healed. And look at her right now, walking like nothing ever happened to her leg. Do that, people know that God does what? Still heal. See, she had a choice. She could have resisted God's healing like they did in the Bible. There was an instant when Jesus could not. The Bible said that Jesus could only heal a few people because they did not believe in who he was. In his own hometown, around all the people that he knew, around the people that he grew up with, around the people who saw him as a child, he could only heal a few people because they were resisting. You can resist God's healing. You can resist God's blessing. You can resist what God's trying to do for you because they call it free will. And God will not overtake your free will. See, you got the free will, not let God bless you. You got the free will to not let God heal you. You got the free will to not let God make you wonderful. You have the free will to do that. But he says, if you let me work in you, if you let the signs of my presence work in you, he said, you will be proof. Each and every one of you in here, not just one of two of you, but every last one of you in here will be proof of God's greatness. It said you will be proof of the promise, the agreement. And see, God made an agreement to his people. He will heal us, that he will bless us, that he will bring blessing. He made up not just one person. He made this promise to everybody. But see, some people just don't understand. Just they've had so much bad stuff going on in your life that they no longer have faith in what God can do. Amen. Amen. Yesterday I was out here painting the benches, and I was painting the stand out there. And then while I was painting, this lady came up and she needed some prayer. She was so down and out. She had just buried her only child. She buried her daughter 2 days ago. Her daughter died. She don't even know what her daughter died from, but all she know, her daughter lived and suffered, and her boyfriend found her daughter dead. So 2 days, she came in. She said 2 days ago, she had lost the love of her life, her daughter, her only daughter. She had a child who died before it was really born. So this was her only child. She had one child, and she lost this child. And so she was out of it. She was telling me about how she was angry. She said, I'm angry with God. Is what she said. She said, I'm angry with him. She said, I just don't believe him anymore. And boy, when you got to try to make somebody comfort and make them understand that God loved them, who has lost their faith, who has lost their joy, who feel like they lost everything. So the only thing I really could do was talk with her for a while and listen to her and say some word that I hope would comfort her. So we talked for a while, and she got some comfort, and she said, I feel a little better now. I feel a little stronger now than I felt when I came in here. I understood some of the things that you said. I understand a little bit now about how God works. So she started to walk out. I thought she was going back to where she lived at, but the next thing I looked around, she was coming back this direction, not back to here, but walking back down the road, and then she was just going back and forth. I could tell that she was still out of it a little bit. And then I looked around and she was out there sitting laying in the street. Hallelujah. She was so depressed. She was so down. So I grabbed my mask and I went out there and I started praying with her again. And I prayed to God, let her know that he had not left her alone, had not forsaken her. I prayed that God would show her some kindness, show her some mercy. I prayed that God would put his hands on her and let her know that God is still with her. So we prayed for a while there. And after a while, I could see her strength coming on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can see her getting a little bit of life back in her eyes. And so after a while, she finally got up. And I told her, I said, I need you. Please listen to me. If you're still trying to get over, I need you to go to your own house. Go to your closet. Go to your closet to where you live at and let God work it out. Don't lay out here in the street because I don't want somebody to call the police on you and think that you're losing this and let them lock you up out here. I said, please, come on, I need you to understand that God loves you. Come, you can't be led. People are driving by and watching you and they're looking at you and wondering what's going on with you. I said, you can't be doing this, God. You can't. You told me that you went to this church and you've been in church all your life. And you, I understand you got a little hiccup, but listen, God still loves you. So people understand no matter where you find yourself, God still loves you. He says it in his word all the time. I still love you. I still care about you. So after a while, she got up out of the dirt, out of the dust. Is where she felt. She felt so low. She felt like she was lower than the dirt and the dust and the asphalt she was laying in. But she finally got some realization that God is good. And she got on up and headed back to where she lived at. I have to believe that I believe God, that God directed her back to work, to home. She may have not really got over all that was going on, but if she went to her closet, if she went somewhere and where she could really be with her and God, I know, I believe down inside my soul that God gave her some comfort and God let her some signs. Hallelujah. I just did not want them, you know, because they'll lock her up for 24 hours. Put her under observation for whatever time because they be thinking that she has lost it. And I didn't want to see that happen to one of God's children. So she headed on. I know because she told me where she was staying at. So she headed on back home. I don't know where she was going that direction, but she lived that way. So she was heading on back home, and I believe that God directed her, and God got her there safe and sound, with some strength, with some encouragement. I believe. So he said, you are my proof. Somebody said, I'm God proof. He said, you are my proof of my agreement with the people. And here's the exciting part you got to get. This is what you got to get. The country is destroyed now, but you will give the land back to the people who owns it. Yeah. See, we have got to get a position where we can help people out. Give them back the joy. Give them back the But see, we can't give people no joy and no happiness if we ain't got no joy and no happiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to have enough joy and happiness in our life that we can share it with somebody else. Somebody get that? You can't be operating on Eve, operating on fumes. You can't be driving around like a car that's operating on fumes all the time. It is time to go to your spirit. This is the spiritual gas station. The church is the spiritual gas station. Come on, Christians. Stop running on fumes. It's hard to even share in the gas with somebody if you're running on a half tank, a quarter of a tank. It's time to get filled up. You need to feel in an overflowing position. You need to let God overflow you so that you can flow over somebody else. You ever seen when you go to a wedding or these places where they got these cups, you got these champagne cups, and they stacked, and they stacked underneath each other, and up top they got a little flow of whatever the liquid is coming out. And what it does is it fills one row of cups first. Yes. God's spirit fills your cups. It fills one row of cups first. Now when that cup, first row of cups is filled, then it overflows to the next row of cups. And then it fills that row of cups up, and then it overflows to the next row of cup. And then when it fills up the last row of cups, it flows down into the vessel, the spirit, the heart of God, right down at the base. It fills up. And then what happens, I don't know if you ever recognize it, it got a little pump in there. And when it goes down to the vase and it just goes back up and starts it all over again, it just keeps circulating. You got to let God's spirit just keep circulating, overflowing you. You overflow somebody else, they overflow somebody else, they overflow somebody else, and it goes back into God and comes back around again. When you feel like you're getting ready to get on E, when you feel like you're getting ready to get on running on fumes, you got to let God fill you up. You got to let God overflow you. You got to let that cycle of the Spirit of God just keep going. You look again, you're his proof. We are God's proof that he blessed us. We are God's proof that he helps us overcome. We are God's proof that he healed. Look, when you get sick, don't get all down and depressed because you're sick. Just let God heal you so somebody can see the power of God's healing. Hallelujah. Even if it's spiritual healing. When you feel like you're spiritually sick, let God spiritually heal you. When you feel like you're beaten down, let God pick you up. Yes, let God. We have got to let God. Somebody said, let God use us. Be the proof of God. Be the mirror. Be the reflection. We was created in his image. The powerful image of the Almighty God. Come on, rest on your feet with a glory and hallelujah in your hands and in your voices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for being kind to us. We thank you for allowing us to overcome. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you for starting us on our way. We thank you for allowing us to be your proof of who you are, of how great you are, of how wonderful you are. We give your name the praises because you're worthy of all the praises. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in Jesus' name. Let the church say, amen.